Oh, nice.
Amen.
That's where the strong amen was coming from.
Yes.
I get it now. I get it.
Maureen, you look very nice.
Yes.
Look at you, girl.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
I'm sorry.
Hallelujah.
Everybody.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Everyone does. Let me just pray if I can sit down so you can get started. Hallelujah. Okay.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. Bow your heads, please.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Lord. We recognize like it's like no other day, dear Jesus,
yes,
that this day is different, dear Lord, and that you are present in it, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, what the resurrection means to our lives, dear Lord, and how you saved us, dear Lord, from everything, dear Jesus, from our sins, from our hurt, from our pain, dear Lord. You died on the cross for each and every one of us. We thank you for this day, dear Lord. We are blessed to be here with you, dear Jesus. We pray over the word today, dear Lord, and the man of God, dear Jesus, that he allows himself to stand, dear Lord, and receive from you, dear Jesus, and that information, dear Lord, that Spirit of God that dwells in him and over him, dear Lord, shares what is on your heart on this day for us to receive. Help us to gather it. Help us to digest it, dear Lord. Eat from it, dear Jesus, and grow from it. We thank you for today. We bless you on this day. We walk, continue in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You put your mic on, guys.
Okay. Huh? Yeah, I got it. I'm good. Hey, my people, how you guys doing? You good? Praise God. I like your dress, Jazz. You guys are all snazzy today.
Resurrection.
They dressed in resurrection, huh? Yeah. Childhood training popped in. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to begin by giving you a little story that the Lord gave me and explained it to me, so that I'm going to give it to you the same way. Look at Deborah, where's your son?
Eating a donut.
Look at you. Mama. Now I told you. Hey, you know it's better than sitting in here hungry. And it's better than sitting in church eating a donut. He's doing that out of respect.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to tell you this story, and I hope you get it after. The Lord showed me there was two dogs. One was a very big dog. He lived outside, and one was a really cute little tiny dog. He lived inside. And so one day the little dog went outside to talk with the big dog. And he said to the big dog, you know, he says, it's really nice in there. He says, boy, I would love to come in there. So he says, what's going on in there? He said, everything is beautiful. The food is good. Sometimes they drop me stuff. But he said, there's something weird going on in the living room. He said, there's a bunch of people that live inside of a box. And our master, he sits on the couch and he watches these people inside the box all day. And there's a bunch of people inside the box. He said, one time I even saw one of us in the box. And he said, I can't figure it out. He said, I snuck in there at night and it's always off. It's like a big black box. But in the morning, there they are walking around in the box, eating in the box. So he says, I don't understand it. And the Lord said, what I'm trying to explain to you is people think they know everything, but you've only been made to know what's on your level. Mm. You understand?
Yeah.
That dog only knows what's on his, to him, yeah, there are people inside the box. He can't figure out whether they're real or not. We had one commercial, the guy's dog jumped on the TV because he saw a squirrel, and he knocked the TV down, right? Because he thought it was real. So I'm just saying, your level of knowledge is limited, okay? So God gave us the Bible to give you instructions, because your level of knowledge, none of you have been in the spiritual realm. None of you really know what hell looks like. You just hear testimonies. None of you have ever been to heaven. None of us know why there's power in the blood of Jesus. Why did blood have to be spilled for me to have salvation? You don't know why, but we know that if the scripture says without the blood, there's no redemption from sins.
Right.
Okay. So blood has to be shed. And we know that the Jews for years had to shed the blood of an innocent animal to get their sins cleansed for a whole year. And then they come back and do it again. So you have no idea how powerful the blood. Well, you know how powerful the blood is if you're saved, but there's power in the blood. We don't know where it comes from because we don't know what's going on in the spirit realm. Okay? The name of Jesus. There's power in his name, but we don't know why the whole universe reacts to his name and the whole satanic world hates his name. We don't know that. But God, instead of, and let me tell you something. If you have a GPS unit, when you get lost, your GPS unit automatically kicks in to get you back on track.
Right. That's
right. When Adam and Eve sinned, redemption was already in the GPS unit. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the best way God could explain it to me. It was already in the unit, and it went into effect to get her, or to get mankind back to the direction that he wanted, because they had eternal life before she sinned. But all of a sudden they were off course. You understand? But God, through his grace, said, don't worry, I have a plan. And then his plan includes his blood, a lamb, all of these things that we don't understand, but God wants you to understand, because he wants you to know that it is he who came and saved you, okay?
Yeah.
Passover is a very important thing. The Lord said, don't forget my phone, because I had to take a copy of it before I left. Because I said, Pastor Ben probably already at church. That man be here at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, now listen to this. It says, Easter came from a pagan, figure or a pagan idol called Ishtar or Estra, who was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of the northern Europe. Long before the time of Christ, the pagan goddess Ishtar, sometimes known as Astres or the Astaroth, the Astaroth pole is has to do with pornography, okay, was worshipped in different countries. Our modern practice of sunrise worship originated from the pagan festival honoring Ishtar, okay? So Ishtar is not, when somebody says happy Ishtar to you, they are really insulting God.
Yes.
And if you don't, and they don't know it, so don't check them.
Right.
Don't be that Christian. You don't know what you're talking about. You ain't got to do all that. Just say happy Resurrection Day and move on and pray for them, okay? But for if you're going to church here, I want you to know and understand why we don't say that here, because we don't want to insult God.
Amen.
Because Passover is the day that he planned to enter into the world to save his creation.
Yeah.
And the Lord had me ask a couple of years ago, ask them how you feel if on your birthday, we called it Lucifer Day.
Mm.
You'd be like, oh, it's your birthday. Happy Lucifer Day. You'd be like, don't be doing that. Right?
Right.
And God is in heaven like, hey, hold up. That you're naming me after demonic idol?
Right.
Don't do that, okay? Let me finish. Okay. It says there are 11 Easter traditions from ancient pagan. 11 is a negative number, very evil number in gossip. It says Easter was originally celebrated at Ishtar, and Constantine, the emperor. Easter was changed to represent Resurrection Day of Jesus Christ. However, Passover and Easter rarely land on the same day. Okay. I also pulled up Switzerland's practice of Easter, and what comes up first? The Easter witch. Because they don't know if I'm looking for the pagan ritual or goofy Christian ritual, right? So they don't know. So they just sent me like the Easter witch of Switzerland. They have Easter witches. They have Easter eggs to bring to the Easter witch, because they're celebrating everything that Easter did in those days, and how they had these pagan rituals and if a woman was to get pregnant during the Easter festival, because it was just a big thing in the temples that they had, if a woman was to get pregnant, she had to bring that child to Ishtar and then sacrifice that child to Ishtar. So they were sacrificing children. There's an island called Easter Island that one day just got destroyed and there were no people left. But on the island is nothing but Easter statues of the goddess Easter. If you walk, people go there just to see the statues, and they're all over the island, but and they show you it was very populated at one time, but I think because of their practice and sacrifice of children to Easter, then they got like, that's enough. And Pastor Ben just mentioned the 48 star constellations, one of the star constellations that God put in the sky to tell you how he's going to redeem you is called Lupus. Let me make sure I got that right, because it's Lupus, and it's a rabbit, and the image of that star constellation is a rabbit, and it's called the enemy of God. Okay, I'm going to. The Hebrew name for her is Lupus or Aribo, which means the enemy of him that cometh, okay? And in Arabic, it means the deceiver. So the image of the rabbit in the star constellation is the enemy of God and the deceiver, okay? But they got you buying rabbits, little bunny rabbits for your kids, and getting Easter eggs, because they would go out to see. If a woman got pregnant and she didn't want to give up her child, they would go out and search her out, that she was there and she's pregnant. That baby belongs to Easter. So they would have to take it and sacrifice it to Easter. And this is the pagan practice that churches wake up every Sunday and go, Happy Easter. You can at least just say Resurrection Day. Yeah. Even if the day is wrong, you can say Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
So God just wanted me to let you know that. And he said, bring your phone so you make sure you let them know that. So then what is Passover all about then? Okay? What is Passover all about? Passover is a rescue plan.
Yes.
And to understand the rescue plan, you have to understand this word here. Hebrew you say it in Hebrew, Ibrit or Iber. And it means to cross over from beyond, okay? Now, I know we think that the Passover was them passing over the Red Sea to the other side, but the Passover is really, how is God going to enter into a physical realm? So he had a man named Eber, and Eber began to have children, and one of his children was Abraham. And so from Crossover, which is his name, crossover from beyond, which is his name, Eber, it means that I'm going to use the Hebrew people to cross over into the human realm. And so he followed the bloodline of the Hebrews. And then you go to Matthew or you go to Luke, and it gives you the bloodline from Adam all the way to Jesus. because it's following the bloodline of Eber, okay? Or it gives you the bloodline from Abraham to Mary, and it'll give you all of the descendants because it's following a bloodline, because God is trying to birth himself into the world, but he can't birth himself into the world through sinful people.
Right.
So he has a bloodline that he's protecting and preserving so that he can come through that bloodline and enter into the world.
Yes.
Because he has a GPS unit that says they're going the wrong way. The only way to get them back on the right track is somebody's got to go there and die for their sins.
Yes.
And he said, well, we got lambs for that. Yeah, you got to do that every year. You're not complaining, but the lambs are protesting. So God wanted to be able to do it, just make a sacrifice that endures. And how is it that the blood of Christ cleansed me in 1979, and here it is, 2022, and I'm still clean? That's some good bleach, right?
Good.
That is, so that blood is so powerful that it can cleanse you for a lifetime.
Yes.
And you not be completely perfect in your lifestyle, right? Because you might come to Christ really happy, but you met somebody, you know? Then all of a sudden you're not. And then you ask for repentance, and God says, it's good. Come on, let's bless you. Let's keep going the way we're going. Then you might, you know, some friends call you, and you want to do something stupid. And this person got to grow. And so it's a bunch of, sometimes it doesn't have to be that way. Don't be saying, oh, it's just God's will that I went through that. No. Is it God's will that you turned the wrong way when you were in the car? No, the GPS unit is trying to get you back on the right track. It's not God's will that you went through an alley and almost got jumped and then had to do a U-turn. It's like, I went through that for a reason. No, you didn't. You went through that because you did the wrong thing. God is going to get you back.
Amen.
So God wants me to take you through the Passover prophecy, okay? The Passover prophecy is about God entering the world. The dress rehearsal was the Red Sea. Listen to me. The dress rehearsal was the Red Sea. The ultimate is Christ entering to the world, because redemption is the goal.
Yeah.
Okay? I want us to go to Exodus chapter 6. Now, you know how we come in, we have the cup, and then we have the bread. Mm-hmm. We take one cup, and then we take the bread. Well, on Passover like this, a Jewish family is not going to have one cup. They're going to have four cups, because they know that God said, made four statements that he's going to do for them. So they have a cup for each one, and each one they pick up and they take that cup for that promise. Then they put that cup down. Then they pick up the next cup and they take that cup, and that's for that promise, okay? Then they take the third, and then they take the fourth, okay? Now, so watch what we're reading here, okay? It says here in verse 5, moreover, I have heard the groaning of Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Okay? First, that was the first. Then it says, I will free you from being slaves to them. That's the second one. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Third promise. It says, with an outstretched arm and with a mighty act of judgment. Verse 7, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Okay. Now, is this passage just for the Jews or is this for the whole world? Because you have to understand the Red Sea was a dress rehearsal. That's not the ultimate rescue of the world. That's a dress rehearsal. Okay? So the Lord said, now read it for the whole world. So he says, therefore God said to the people of the world, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of sin. Because you're under a bondage of sin. I will free you from being slaves to it. From what? Sin. Because sin is slavery. Then it says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. How did he redeem you with an outstretched arm? On the cross.
Yeah.
Then he says, and I will look at you. I will lakach you as my own people. I will take you, lakach. Remember, he lakached Enoch up into heaven. Lakach is the Hebrew word for to take by force, which is the Greek word, which are bazo and the rapturos. All this stuff is, he said, the ultimate thing is I'm going to take you to be my own people.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. So the redemption plan is set in place right here, but God is now giving you the dress rehearsal, but this isn't the real deal. And I'll show you why it's not the real deal. But God has a redemptive plan for all of us. So when we do Passover, I remember the first we did a Hebrew Passover service and I did the four cups and explained everything, okay? So we would take four cups and then the last cup, you know what we would say? Why? Because if you're going to get married, if you're Jewish and you're going to get married, you first you go to your bride's father and you pay a bridal cost.
Yes.
Okay. And it's not like you're buying a bride. You're trying to show the father how much worth you believe his daughter's for. Right. So you pay a bridal cost. Now, she can still say no. So you're not buying her. She could come outside and go, nope, too short. So it's all up to her, right? So she, so after you pay the bridal cost, then you both sit down, they open a bottle of wine, they both drink, and they say, we will not drink again from this fruit until our wedding day. So when Christ does this later, he's just saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this in my father's house at the wedding, okay? See, people don't understand. From the moment you get saved, you're headed to a wedding. Rather you die before the rapture or leave during the rapture, you're headed to a wedding because you're a part of the body of Christ. Okay, so those are the four cups that you would take, okay? And then it says here, it says, I will bring you to the land I swore and with uplifted hands to give to you, to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. So now let's go through the dress rehearsal, okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Now, before we go to Exodus chapter, please don't go to Leviticus 23. I'm just going to read this, okay? The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as a secret assembly, okay? One of them is the Sabbath, the other is the Passover, okay? So he's telling you, These are my appointed times. These are my feasts. I forget the word, but it means my dress rehearsals. Okay? Huh? Mikras. Thank you, Pastor Vin. Good student. So it's the Hebrew word. These are my mikras. These are my dress rehearsals. We're about to go through a dress rehearsal because we're gonna have the real stage play later. This ain't it, but this is a dress rehearsal. So I want you to see this. If you're still in, where are you supposed to be? Exodus chapter 12. Praise God. Huh? We'll be in the first verse. Okay. Now watch this, okay? It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Okay? So now all the Jewish people are going out on the 10th of Nisan to grab a lamb. Okay? And yeah, let's go. Okay, go down to verse 6 and then we'll get the next instruction. He says, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, which is Passover, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Okay? So now Jesus Christ on the 10th of Nisan tells the apostles to go into the here, this is stuck. I got it. Okay. So the apostles, and they get this donkey. They say the Jesus needs it. They throw a cloak on it. They bring Jesus. Jesus gets on the donkey and rides into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. So guess who just arrived? The Lamb of God. Guess who's standing there? Go, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John is standing there proclaiming he's a Lamb. Okay? So he comes in on the 10th, he's on a donkey, he rides in, and then it says here, on the 14th of Nisan, which is Passover today, okay, which is Passover, it says, now you must kill that lamb at twilight. So later, on the 14th day of Nisan, they kill Jesus, but they don't kill him in the morning. He doesn't die in the morning, he dies exactly at twilight. So he's playing the role of a lamb, but he's doing this because of what? He is showing you this is what happened.
Yes.
Many years ago, they grabbed a lamb and they kept it for 4 days. And then after they kept it for 4 days, they killed it at twilight. And that's what Jesus went through, the exact same thing. Wow. And then John calls him a lamb, right?
Yeah.
And then he's born in a stable. It's like, why would God let Jesus be? That's where lambs are born. So the whole life of Jesus is playing out this role of a sacrificial lamb, but the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Your sins will not be forgiven for 1 year. They'll be forgiven for the rest of your life if you apply the scripture right. Okay? Let's continue. It says, take care of them until the 14th day when you must kill them at slaughter them at twilight. Okay, now let's go over to verse 21. Here he is. Then it says here, then Moses summoned all the elders and said, go at once and select the animal for your family and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on the sides of the door. Not one of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. Okay? So now he says, take the and put some blood on the side, put some blood on this side, and put some blood on the top. So now you got three blood stains on a door. Who's the door of salvation? Jesus. So God is telling you that in the future, a door is going to be hanging on a cross with three spots of blood on it. That's going to be your access into the kingdom of God. So God is always speaking to me, I'm planning your escape. I'm planning your redirection back to life. You understand? Now, I've been telling Pastor Ben all week because I've been reading in this this book of Esdras, and he says, and it keeps saying, I keep reading, the reasoning, the ability of man to think and reason leads them into hell.
Yeah.
And this is when God gave me that understanding in my mind. Dogs don't understand that TV people aren't real. You know, and humans don't understand a lot of things, but we're sitting here trying to figure it out. But God has given you some understanding, so at least you know how to get to where you need to be. But don't sit around here trying to imagine that you have all intelligence and that you know what's going on, because you don't. You don't know what God is doing. The reason God wants you to read your Bible, you have no idea why. You just know, okay, he wants me to read my Bible. He wants me to go to church and have fellowship. He knows all of these things are going to build you up and keep you strong, right?
Right.
You don't see yourself full or built up in Christ just from reading the Bible. You don't. He's like, I'm still as hungry as I was before I started reading. But your spirit, man, is like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Right? So you're strong spiritually, even though you might be weak physically from food, you'll be strong physically. God is trying to build up your spirit, man, because he knows you're in a battle.
Yes.
And fights are coming.
Yes.
Okay? But if you don't understand what God is doing, you'll operate in your own intelligence and say, oh, I'll just go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. No. That's like going to a restaurant once a week to eat, but not eating the rest of the week. Then you go back to the restaurant on Sunday. I'm hungry. I know you are. You ain't ate nothing since last week. So that's a silly thing to do. Most of your eating is not done here. Right. It shouldn't be done here.
Right.
Most of your eating should be done at home with your own Bible, your own studies, and your own prayer time. Okay?
Amen.
Okay. So now he puts the blood on the doorposts of the home. And then, of course, what happens the next day? All of the death angel comes through, kills the firstborn of every family. And all of the Israelites, the next morning, Pharaoh tells them, get out. And they said, well, we can't leave because we need your gold and silver. And they said, take whatever you want. Just get out, which fulfilled the prophecy that they would leave with great wealth. So they get out and they start walking through the wilderness, right? Or they start walking and everything's going good for about 2.5 days. After that, he said, well, camp here, sleep here tonight. Then the next morning they got up and they moved on. You can count the days as he's telling them. So it's the 14th of Nisan, but he's going to, when did the flood start? On the 17th. When did the ark come to a rest on Mount Reverse the Curse? On the 17th, right? So remember, the ultimate is going to happen 3 days after Passover. See, Passover is beautiful. I love it because Christ died on the cross for us. But if he don't get up 3 days later, we're all in trouble.
Yep.
Sure is.
So they go through the wilderness. Then they come to the Red Sea on the 17th of Nisan. And it says here.
What verse?
Let's see. Let me get through this. Okay, let's find verse, chapter 14, verse 26. Then it says here, then the Lord said, Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and the chariots and the horsemen. And it says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place, and the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. And the water flowed back and covered the chariot, the horsemen, the Israelites. So all of this stuff is happening. Now look, you go to the Red Sea today because I don't want you thinking you're in a religion. You go to the Red Sea today and a guy does an excavation into the water, yep, and he sees chariot wheels at the bottom of the sea, mm-hmm, and he makes a video about it. Oh, there's chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yep. Wow.
So I'm trying to tell you, you're not playing with religion.
Amen.
Okay? This is God, and he's telling you what happened.
Amen.
And he's telling you how to be redeemed. Amen. Okay. So all of this happens, and on the 17th of Nisan, they cross over, okay? That's the Passover, okay? Now, that was a dress rehearsal. You understand?
Yes.
Because Christ is coming, and he is dying on the cross, okay? And the lamb, it was killed at twilight. And the, but it says, the here, let's look at it. Let's read it. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 11. Note, ooh. You there?
Yes.
Amen. Here we go. Okay, I was going to start at verse 11, but I'm going to start at verse 10, okay? And he replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished, make preparation there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat again until I find its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So he said, there's going to be another Passover in the kingdom of God. See, that God be messing with me. Okay, it says, take this and divide it among you, and for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Okay? So here they are in the room at Passover. Now remember, they're Jewish. So they're going through a Jewish Passover service. They're probably reading from the book of Exodus because the Torah existed.
Yeah.
And they're doing the four cups. But when they get to the last cup, because the last cup is called the cup of completion. Okay? And Jesus says, I'm stopping here. I will not drink of this cup with you until I see you in the kingdom of God. Okay? So then we go to John chapter 14, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he promises you what? I'm coming again to take you to be with me where I am in heaven. And at that time, when he does that, know what? Then we'll all drink of the wine, the cup of marriage and consummation together, because we will be with him in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So understand the redemptive plan, okay? There is a Passover coming. Because he hasn't caught you as his own people yet. And if this was a fulfillment with the Israelites, they haven't been taken as his own people yet. You know why? They're still rejecting him.
Yeah.
So he's coming, he's going to redeem us, he's going to redeem the Jewish people, and he's letting you know the completion of it is when I see you in the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go. Now, why do you think there's four cups? Why do you think there's four cups? Olive, Bet, Gamel, Delete. How you say door in Hebrew?
Delete.
Okay. How do you say, wait a minute. Oh, blood. So, delete is four. Blood is 44 in Hebrew. You understand? So, 4, 44. What is Damascus Road? 4, 4, 4. You understand? So the door is opening, okay? The door is going to open the way, okay, by the blood. The door is going to be opened by the blood. And now there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 that says, perfect love casts out fear, okay? Now, perfect love is 4, 4, 4. So when the apostle was on the road to Damascus, did he realize he was about to meet perfect love?
No.
Did he realize where he was? Because the Damascus, God made Damascus Road 444 for a reason. He's on the road to perfect love because he's about to meet Christ.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, what was his intentions on that road? To go kill Christians. Jesus was already gone. I'm going here. I'm going to bind some of them up. I'm going to put them in prison. I'm going to kill some of them. His whole mentality is against Christ. That means he doesn't understand what's going on. He's religious.
Right.
Because he studied with the great philosophers and Bible teachers of all time. He was very smart. Saul, who turned to Paul, was a very smart guy. And yet he's on his way to kill Christians. Then all of a sudden, his GPS kicks in. Okay? Says, you're going the wrong way. You understand? And see, all of us, if you're here, it's because at some time in life, it kicked in and said, wait a minute. This don't look like California. Right? And it's telling you to turn around because you don't know what you're doing. You're going the wrong way. But you can turn around and find Christ. You can turn around and find the Passover. Here, we're going to go to... We're going to go to Psalms chapter 22. Is Psalm chapter 22, is it in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? Can somebody help me out? I'm glad you said that. Because when I read this, you're going to say, oh, I know that. Here, watch this. Watch how it starts off. First verse. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Is that in the Gospels or is that in the Old Testament? That's in the Old Testament. That means before you get to Jesus, before he's born, he's already telling you what he's going to say on the cross.
Wow.
So that means that this whole dress rehearsal is going to play itself out. He's already planning for it. You understand? He's making a quote that he says on the cross right before death in Psalms. Thousands of years before he even born. Watch this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I am silent. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. in you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not disappointed. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men, despised by people. Who's the worm? What's the worm? Do you guys know what kind of worm that is? Huh? This worm, this type of worm that he mentions here, when it gets pregnant, finds a wooden tree and latches itself to it until it has its babies. But it spews out red blood, like red, to cover the when the kids are born, to cover them with this red. So Jesus is talking about a specific type of worm that finds a wooden tree, latches itself to it, yeah, until it births its children.
Yeah.
So he doesn't just say I'm a worm. He's telling you what kind of worm he is, and he's telling you I'm about to birth my children. Yeah. And I'm going to protect them with what? The blood.
Blood. Woo! That's crazy.
So your rescue plan, the Passover, is not complete. Remember, dying on the cross, even when he resurrects, is not complete until he says the last one is what? I will come and look at you as a people to myself. When he comes and takes you and you become his and you have all of the promises that he promised,
yes,
then the Passover communion or the Passover table will be done. Remember, Jesus cut it short. He cut it short. He said, no, I'm not drinking of this cup. We're not there yet. But is it planned? Yes. Is he going to give birth to his children? Yes. The worm is going to attach itself to a tree and give birth to his children.
Yeah. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Let's continue. Go to verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A great band of evil men encircle me and have pierced my hands and my feet. Who's talking here? Jesus. How can you be Jewish and read that and not go, oh, they're talking about Jesus? Remember, God has blinded them. They read this and they go, that means nothing. They pierced my hands and my feet. Look. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare at me and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Did they do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go to verse 29. Listen to this. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. Is he talking about money, physical money and wealth? He's talking about the people that belong to him. Remember, you have a great inheritance. You are co-heirs with Christ. You understand? So he's making a declaration what's about to happen. And he says, all the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. And those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn, for he has done it. What? He said, first of all the rich of the world are going to feast. My people, You're very wealthy. You have a good life and you're going to feast. But there's some people going down to the dust of the ground because they can't keep themselves alive. They had no understanding, and their intelligence made them think that they could live forever, okay? But he says this, I have done this for all the people who have yet to be born.
Amen. Amen.
So that means he's on the cross and he's thinking about you.
Amen.
He's on the cross and he's not thinking about the people who are crucifying him. He's already asked God to forgive them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He said they know not what they do, so guess what? Now they're under manslaughter, not murder.
Right.
You know that?
Right.
They know not what they do means that God has proclaimed them to not be guilty of premeditated murder. God says, this is a manslaughter. They can be forgiven for this. He weakens their cause. You understand?
Amen.
Christ is doing so much on the cross. On the 14th of Nisan, he's doing so much on the cross. He's redeeming. And then his blood now has power.
Yes.
His name now has power.
Praise God. Amen.
Like my brother said, his truck was flipping over and he screamed out Jesus, and he said somehow the truck straightened back up. He was back on the road.
Praise the Lord.
Told me that last week. I was like, praise God. He said, I thought I was gone, but I called out Jesus. And so I want you to know and understand something. There's power in the name of Jesus. When you're praying, confess the blood over that. See, you don't know why you're doing it. Who cares?
Right.
Look, little man, when the burglar come in, just pull the trigger. Let's just pull the trigger. Why? Don't worry about it. When he comes in, poof, he fell down. You understand? God tells us to do things. He knows you don't know the full parameter of why you're doing it, but he wants you to know that this is beneficial to your spiritual life. Hallelujah. I thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's all good, Pastor.
The Lord wanted me to tell you this. And he says this right from the top. He had me write, stop. He says, by you celebrating Easter, going out buying bunny rabbits and Easter eggs, he says, you give praise to demon entities. He said, stop doing it because you insult God. Because he paid such a price for your Passover for you to call his name, the name of his day after a demonic idol is an insult.
Yes.
And he says, stop. By doing the traditions, you are doing demonic practices.
Yes. Yeah.
They went out to find out looking for the eggs so that they could bring them to Ishtar so that she could sacrifice them in flames. They did that. You got your kids out practicing a demonic practice under the guise of, oh, if you get the most eggs, you get a dollar. Just practice this, little demonic practice here. A what? A golden egg. So I'm just saying, look, we've been on enough deception.
Yes. Yeah.
I am so anti silly church.
Yeah.
I am so anti silly church.
Amen.
Because I have never seen Jesus walk up to somebody, slap them on the head, they fall on the ground, start squirming, and then they get up healed. He just heals them.
That's all he did.
Or I've never seen Jesus. Well, they was talking to him and he said, who are you looking for? And he said, Jesus. And he says, they fell back, right? But I've never seen Jesus at a service waving his jacket, or, and then a whole crowd just fall on the ground.
Right.
I never seen it written in scripture, and the whole congregation just jumped up and started shouting and falling over and praying. Different people praying in tongues. Some people's dancing. Some people running around, and the music was. I never heard. That's not in the church. That's not in the Bible. Right? That is tradition.
It is.
And if you allow yourself to get caught up in tradition, you're going to be a religious person that don't know God. You're going to be practicing. You say, oh, well, Catholicism is a false religion. Christianity can be false, too, if you're doing it false.
Amen.
If you're not in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ day to day, you're in a false religion.
Thank you.
So let's get past all the foolishness. I'm thankful that there's nobody here with a basket for their kids. And if you have one, I forgive you. But I want you to know you're insulting God.
Yeah.
What a plan that has been put out for you.
Awesome.
You don't know why God wants you to do things. God tells you, if you live right, I'll bless everything you do. Simple plan. Why is it so hard for Christians to live right? They keep asking for blessings. And they go, I was one of them.
Right,
it's like, God, you know, everything goes good for other people, but not me. I mean, since my girlfriend's been living with me, the whole thing's gone crazy. I don't understand you. I'm a Christian. It's like, not the smartest, right? Simple instructions in the scripture, how to gain life, how to be blessed, how to walk with God. How to do all these things. I was walking real good with God one time, and they fired me. You know what I did? I took my last check, bought Drea a table she was looking for, because I knew I was living right. I'm done with sin, right? I was like, I wonder what God's going to do. Because if they fired me, that means God's got something really good for me. And they fired me for witnessing inside of the federal prison. They fired me for leaving my Bible on the counter. So I was like, ooh, God must have something good for me.
Yes.
So I said, I'm going to Bible study tonight. I went to Bible study, and a guy says, you look like you'd be good for juvenile prison to be a minister there. Says, go to these people and fill out the application, because I think you'll be good for that. I went in before I could fill out the W-2s. They was handing me the W-2s, and you got the job. Don't worry about it. You're in. So I got my first check. And, you know, human heart, I wanted to mail them my first check to show them I made double what you fired me from, right? But God was like, don't do that. I was like, ah.
Send an email.
But you have to know and understand something.
Right.
You don't know everything, okay? Be obedient to what the word is telling you, because you don't know everything, okay? Some people think, I'm getting raptured. Well, if the Holy Spirit is pricking you about changing something in your life, then do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, when God is telling you to do something, it's always for your own good, okay? I'm not telling you not to run in the street because I want to be bossy. Okay? Understand these things, you guys. And understand we don't know everything. But God does. He's trying to get us there. He's trying to finish the Passover. You understand? He's trying to finish it. Help him. Don't quench the spirit. Help him get you there. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right.
Hallelujah.
Hey. Ooh, it's two cute girls. You see the two cute girls that walked in here?